ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण, सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट नंबर 44। प्लीज रिपीट। उत्तमश्चिन्तितं कुर्यात् प्रोक्तकारी तु मध्यमा अधमो श्रद्धया कुर्यात् अकर्रतो चरितं पितु। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. A son who acts by anticipating what his father wants him to do is first class. One who acts upon receiving his father's order is second class. And one who executes his father's orders irreverently is third class. But a son who refuses his father's order is like his father's stool. Purport. Puru, Yayati's last son, immediately accepted his father's proposal, for although he was the youngest, he was very qualified. Puru thought, I should have accepted my father's proposal before he asked, but I did not. Therefore, I am not a first-class son, I am second-class. But I do not wish to become the lowest type of son, who is compared to his father's stool. One Indian poet has spoken of putra and mutra. Putra means son and mutra means urine. Both a son and urine comes from the same genitals. If a son is an obedient devotee of the Lord, he is like putra, he is called putra or a real son. Otherwise, if he is not learned and is not a devotee, a son is nothing better than a urine. Hare Krishna. So here Puru speaks about the sun, the three classes of sun. Similarly, disciples are also a spiritual son of a spiritual master who is a spiritual father. So they are also of a three kinds, three types of disciples. The first class disciple who knows the heart of the spiritual master. Even before spiritual master giving the order, he can read the heart of the spiritual master. He understands what his guru wants and he immediately fulfills that. He immediately acts on that. That is the first class disciple. The second class disciple is the disciple who receives the order from the spiritual master and immediately he executes it. He's a second class disciple. But the third class disciple is he, as Puru says here, who does the work irreverently. He grumbles actually. When the Guru orders, yeah, I could have done it, but I'm not able to do it. I'm weak. My health is not good. I'll do it later. But then, after giving all the excuses, he does it. He grumblingly does it. So he's a third class disciple. Actually, it's not out of love, but as a duty, he does it. So that is third class disciple. And the fourth class is not disciple at all. He is actually rejected. Who refuses to accept the orders of the spiritual master, he is rejected like stool. A stool is rejected, he is also rejected. He is not a disciple at all. So in Urdu Amanya Tantra, there is a verse. Haro ruste gurus tatra, guru ruste na kashchana, tasmat sarva prayatnena, gurum eva prasadyet. So if Lord Hari becomes displeased, Gurudev can deliver you. But if Gurudev is displeased, nobody in the three worlds can deliver you. You are finished if Gurudev is displeased. So with utmost care, one should take care that his Guru is pleased. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutu. If Guru is pleased, Lord Krishna is pleased. So Guru should never be displeased. There is no place in the three worlds for this disciple who is displeased his guru. Lord Hari also kicks him out, get out. So guru should be always be pleased. Actually, Ananta Samhita, it says that those persons whose consciousness is low, they are covered with ignorance and nescience. They sometimes think fame guru as the normal human being. they feel they're the normal human being, an ordinary human being. So they speak, sometimes they speak ill of the guru even. So this type of the devotees has to take birth of a hog 100 times. And it's also said that if someone thinks a guru as an ordinary human being, a mantra as simply an alphabet, and deity as an idol, he will definitely go to hell. So one should take proper care of the guru and should be always be pleased. In 11th canto, Krishna says, Krishna himself says this, Acharya mam vijaniyan naumanyate karhichit namartya buddhaya suyate sarvadeva mayo guru. One should know that Acharya is myself and never disrespects him. In any way one should not envy him, thinking him to be an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. So one should not think Acharya as the ordinary human being. One should not envy him. Sometimes people think that Guru is a mortal being. How come Krishna is comparing him as immortal? He is a mortal being. He is also getting hungry as I do get hungry. He is also eating and I am also eating. He is also passing stool and urine, that what I am doing. Sometimes he also falls sick as I do. So how come he is an immortal being, as Krishna says in this verse? That type of devotees who have disrespect Guru like this, it is said that their mantra, what they received from the Guru, will have no effect. And whatever devarchana or the deity worship they do is of no use. There will be no effect. So Krishna in 10th canto, he is speaking to Sudama. The dialogue with Sudama, he says that I am not pleased with the Brahmanical initiation or the ritual worship or penance and austerity or any self-discipline. I am pleased with the person who pleases his guru. Who pleases his guru, I am most pleased with him. Lord Krishna himself says this. So now, who cannot be a Shishya? As here it said, that different kinds of Shishya. But who cannot be a Shishya? Who cannot be corrected? Who is incorrigible? There is no possibility of correcting him. That type of Shishya is not called a Shishya at all. Because when the Guru is inflicting a discipline on him, he is refusing to accept that discipline. He says, I cannot do that. So that is a rejected Shishya. He is not a Shishya at all. And he is like a stool, as Purusha is in this verse. He is like a stool, which is to be rejected. And who is a true disciple? A true disciple in Vishnu Smriti, it is said that Guru has a right to inflict discipline on the disciple. Disciple is one who is to be disciplined. Disciple is known as one who is to be disciplined. Guru, actually the meaning of the word Guru is heavy. Who inflicts heavy discipline on the disciple, that is Guru. Guru has a twofold meaning. Heavy has a twofold meaning. One who inflicts heavy discipline on the disciple, and one who takes the heavy responsibility of delivering the disciple, that is Guru. So Guru is inflicting the heavy discipline on the disciple. That is actually good for the Shishya. It purifies him. As it is said that goldsmith, when he puts the gold into the fire, he takes it out, hammers it, again puts it into the fire, takes it out and again hammers it. He does this many a times. So like that, all the impurities comes out and the pure gold remains. So similarly, when Guru is inflicting this discipline on the disciple, the severe discipline, more severe, then all the impurities are gone and then the purity will come out. So that one who tolerates this discipline, severe discipline, that is the true disciple, the Sata Shishya, the real disciple. As the next verse in here also, Puru is actually accepting this exchange of his young age with the old age gladly, not irreverently. It's said, iti pramuditaha, the first word of the next verse, iti pramuditaha, he was pleased to exchange. He was not displeased, he was pleased. So similarly, when one, any punishment or any discipline is inflicted by the Guru, he should take it very pleasingly. As there is one bhajan of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he says, तोमार सेवया दुख हय जट सेवत परम सुख सेवा सुख दुख परम संपद नाशये अविद्या दुख. इट सेज व्हाटएवर डिस्ट्रेस एंड हार्डशिप्स कम्स इन योर सर्विस दैट डिस्ट्रेस दैट हार्डशिप आर माय ग्रेट प्लेजर. सेवा सुख दुख परम संपद दैट आर ग्रेट प्लेजर दे आर लाइक माय एसेट्स एंड परम सुख इन इन डिवोशनल सर्विस जॉय एंड सोरो आर इक्वली ग्रेट रिचेस दे आर द रिचेस दे आर द एसेट्स. Both destroys the misery of ignorance. So, there is one story in 10th canto also, that is Krishna Balaram's story. That is, Krishna and Balaram has set an example how they took the hardships and they were disciplined by his guru. When they were in the Sandimpini Muni's ashram, they were once there was no firewood in the ashram. So, Guru Mata, Sandimpini Muni's wife, she told Krishna Balaram, go get fetch the woods from the forest for cooking. There is no fire, there are no woods, so how will I cook? So go get the firewoods. So Krishna and Balaram, they are the supreme personality of Godhead. By their mere willing, the creation and annihilation takes place. If they would have desired, the truckloads of fire would have come on their own. But they took an axe in their hand and went to the forest. They were ready to fulfill the orders of the Guru and Guru Mata. They just took axe and went to the forest. So Guru Seva is everything what they saw. And then that wonderful incident took place. Black clouds and the storm came when they went to the forest. There were torrential rains. Whole land was inundated with water. It was flooded everywhere. And they were not able to come back to the ashram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was not able to come to the ashram. And Sandimpini Muni was worried here in the ashram. He had a sleepless night, was not able to sleep that night because Krishna and Balaram had not come back. They were in the forest. They had gone to fetch the firewoods. So when in the morning, when the rain was stopped, Sandimpini Muni went to the forest and he saw Krishna and Balaram beneath the tree. They were standing, shivering. They were all wet. They were shivering. So they took that hardship for the Guru. Immediately, Sandimpini Muni actually embraced them and he said that you are a Sata Shishya, the true disciple. This body is very dear to everybody. Nobody wants to take distress or hardship, but you have taken this hardship for me. You are the real disciple. You are the Sata Shishya. So this is how Krishna and Balaram is setting example of us, how we should take distress and hardship for the pleasure of the Guru. So whatever strength, whatever with the body, mind and speech, we should serve the Guru. Whatever wealth, speech, whatever we have, we should serve the Guru. And while this, we'll get the mercy of the Guru. And in a short time, we'll achieve perfection in this life. So this, our beloved Param Guru, Sri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was one of this Sata Shishya, the first class Sata Shishya. Actually, when he first met his Guru Maharaj, at that time he was not a disciple even. That time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he just suggested, he didn't give an order also. He just suggested that the youngsters like you, if you just preach to the English speaking world, that will be good. He just gave the suggestion and he took it as an order. That was his life and soul. He make it as a life and soul. He read one verse of Bhagavad Gita after that, which 2.41, Vyavsayatmika Buddhi Ekoho Kurunandan. And he read the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In that, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Guru's order should be life and soul for the disciple. So he took it as his life and soul and he prepared his life for that. Even one suggestion. It's Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitayate Kari Aikya. It's not Guru Mukha Padma Agya. It's Vakya. Whatever Guru says, not only the order, whatever Guru says, it is to be Chitayate Kari Aikya. He actually took it in the heart and fulfilled his Guru's desire. He's a first class Satshya. Actually, after that, in 1935, during one Vyas Puja offering, he wrote one beautiful poem. In one of the couplet of that poem, he writes, "Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. In personal calamities, thou shalt move. Thou had moved." It's so this very verse, it pleased this Guru Maharaj so much. He actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually felt that this disciple of mine has read my heart. He actually had read Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's heart. And he was very pleased. At that time, this Prabhupada was in Bombay. This verse was spoken in Bombay, in Gaudiya Math over here in Gualatang. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Puri. When he received this, he was very happy. And he was showing it to everybody, all the guests. "See, Abhay has written this, Abhay has written this." He was showing it to everybody. And he told even, "Print this in my magazine, Harmonist. And whatever Abhay writes, henceforward you should print that." He was so pleased with Srila Prabhupada. And after that, when he came to Bombay, he was shown the Gaudiya Math, which actually Prabhupada helped Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada help here in the Bombay Mutt. He had given some money also. He helped the devotees here. So the devotees, sannyasis here, they told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Abhay should come here and he should be the president of this place. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "No, don't disturb him. Keep him away of your association. Let him be alone. He will do it when it's needed. He will fulfill it. He will do everything." He said, "Abhay will do it." And he did it. He really did it what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted. He did that. So these were the different classes of disciple we discussed. So similarly, there are different classes of Vaishnavas. Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Kanishta Adhikari. So who is Kanishta Adhikari? Acharya evam hariye pujam yashraddaye hate na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakriti smrita. Those faithfully worship the deity but cannot treat devotees properly. They don't even properly deal with the people in general. There are a neophyte devotees, a prakrita bhakta, kanishta adhikaris. So this type of bhaktas, they know only the Lord in the deity. They just come straight, offers worship to the Lord. They just pray and straight go away. They don't respect the Bhagavata, the book Bhagavata or the person Bhagavata. There is no difference between a book Bhagavata and the Lord. It's a Vani incarnation of the Lord. But they don't respect the book Bhagavata, even the person Bhagavata. Person Bhagavata is the embodiment of this Bhagavata, which Vaishnava speaks. So they don't respect these two people. The book Bhagavata or the person Bhagavata. They directly comes and goes away. So now, who is Madhyam Adhikari? Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu dvisatashu cha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakaroti samadhyama. A Madhyam Adhikari Vaishnava offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is friendly with all the devotees of the world, sincere friend. He shows mercy to the ignorant people who are innocent and disregards those who are envious to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he deals with four different types of personalities in a four different way. One personality, the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he actually offers respect and loves. He is offering respect to him. And to the devotees, he is friendly with devotees. And those who are innocent and ignorant, he gives his mercy. He gives his mercy to them and very affectionate to them. And the third, fourth, he avoids the people who are envious. And who is Uttam Adhikari? Sarvabhuteshu yah pashyed bhagavata bhavam atmanah bhutani bhagavati atmani esha bhagavato uttama. A person advanced in devotional service sees everything as the soul of the soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees Krishna everywhere and in everything. He is the Uttam Bhagavata. So who is seeing Krishna everywhere and in everything? He is the Uttam Bhagavata. Sthavara jangam dekhe na dekhe tara murti sarvatpa suraye tanra ishta deva murti. So sthavar, jangam, mobile or immobile, whatever, he doesn't see the form in it. He sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Ishtadeva Murti. He sthavaras puriya, immediately he sees the Tandras Ishtadeva Murti. So these are the classification given in Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto. So similarly, these three type of devotees are been classified by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also. He has classified them on the basis of faith. These were on the basis of their dealings with the different devotees. And Baba Rupa Goswami classifies them on the basis of faith. Shraddhavana janahaya bhakti adhikari uttama madhyama kanishta shraddha anusari uttama adhikari sastra yukte sunipune drida shraddhayanra uttama adhikari sei taraya samsara shastra yukti nahi jane drida shraddhavan madhyama adhikari sei mahabhagyavan yanra komal shraddha sei kanishta jana krame krama teno bhakta haibe uttama. So a faithful devotee is truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. Shraddhavana janahaya bhakti adhikari. So he's a faithful devotee, he is a truly eligible candidate to get the loving service of the Lord. So according to one's faith, one is classified as topmost devotee, or an intermediate devotee, or an inferior devotee. So one who is expert in logic and argument, very expert in logic and argument and reveals scriptures and has a firm faith, he is a uttama bhagavata. So one who is not very good in expert logic and argument, but he has a strong faith, he actually, when some argument is put forward, strong argument, is not able to refute it, but he nevertheless he has the strong faith. So that is madhyam adhikari. And one whose actual faith is very soft and pliable, it can be penetrated by anyone, that soft and pliable faith is a kanishta adhikari. So these are the three types of devotees described in Bhakti Rasamrita. So here it is said adhikar. So what is adhikar? One who has adhikar is adhikari. According to one advancement in devotional service, one has the adhikar. So there are different levels of adhikar. One is gyan adhikar, one is karma adhikar, one is gyan adhikar, the third is bhakti adhikar or prem adhikar. Bhakti means love. There is no bhakti without love. Sarva dharman parityajam mamekam sharanam vraja. How can one surrender without the love? If there is love, then only one can surrender. This sarva dharman parityajam, the best example are the gopis. Gopi, they surrendered everything for Krishna. They were actually the housewives, and they were knowing that what they are doing according to Veda, it is wrong. But they abandoned the Vedic religion even for the sake of Krishna, to please Krishna. In the middle of the night, they crossed the Vrindavan forest to meet Krishna. So they actually didn't worried about what the social people will think about them, what the people will tell them. They tell, "Oh Shyam, I am ready, we are ready to wear the garland of criticism, of all this criticism for you, for your pleasure." So that is the complete surrender. So they are the premi bhaktas. Without that love, there is no surrender. So we are not surrender at all, actually, if we see. According to that, we are not surrendered. That is why we have not got the bhakti adhikar, the prema adhikar we have not got. So that is why Prabhupada said, for you, varnashram. You should do karma. According to Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever you are, you have to do karma. Do your karma. And slowly and gradually doing that karma, when all this will be purified, when the mind will be purified, the heart will be purified, the consciousness will be purified, and all the material desires will go away, then you will attain that bhakti adhikar, desire liberation. So thus, then you will get the taste of Harikatha and Hari Kirtan. You will get that real taste, and that is the bhakti adhikar, that a shuddha bhakti adhikar you will get. And when you will get that shuddha bhakti adhikar, you will get immediate results. Right now, if we think that I am been chanting from so many years, I am doing so much of seva, but I am not getting the result. But when you will surrender yourself fully, you will give away all your material desire, and when you will achieve that Shuddha Bhakti Adhikar, then the results will be immediate. Right now the results are not coming, but when that Adhikar will come, the results also will come immediately. In Bhagavad Gita, the verse 7.16, Krishna says, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna artho jigyasu artharthi jnani cha bharata sarva. O best among Bharatas, four types of pious men being to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, who are desiring of wealth, the inquisitive, and the jnanis, who are searching for the knowledge of absolute. These are the four pious men who are having the adhikar actually. They are having the initial adhikar, but adhikar of bhajan, not the bhakti adhikar. So these four have the requirement. They come to Krishna for some reason. Artha, he is distressed, and for that he has come to Krishna and he is doing his bhajan. He has got the adhikar of bhajan. One who is inquisitive, he has come to get some knowledge, get some answer of his jigyasa. He has come and he is, for that reason he has come. Similarly, artharto, for the wealth he has come. So for that he is doing the bhajan and he has got that bhajan adhikar. And similarly, the jnani also comes to Krishna for that reason. So the question is, one may be distressed or inquisitive or artharto, whatever he may be, but all of these four classes of people doesn't come to Krishna. So what is the difference between them? It's as said in the one, jana sukritana arjuna. They had got some sukriti. That is the adhikar, sukriti. That bhajan adhikar he has got. So they come to the Krishna. They have some bhakti adhikar. And these four types of devotees, slowly when they come, they have that contamination of all that artha, artharthi, all that contamination is there. And slowly and gradually they will go away. It will be less and less and less, and they will come to the Shuddha Bhakti Adhikar. The examples are given like Gajendra. He was artha, example of artha. Gajendra actually prayed to Krishna when he was in distress. When crocodile has taken his foot in his mouth, that time he was in distress and he called out the name of the Lord and he prayed to the Lord. He offered prayers to the Lord. That time he was not having Shuddha Bhakti Adhikar. But slowly and gradually when he prayed to the Lord and the Lord came and saved him, then he developed, and slowly that distress went away and he came to the level of Shuddha Bhakta Adhikar. Then rishis, the second is Jigyasu, inquisitive. The rishis of Namisharanya, headed by Sonaka Rishi, they actually were worried about the upcoming Kali Yuga. So they were performing, hundreds of years they were performing yajna, and they were doing it for Kali Yuga. So they were inquisitive to know. So they went to the pure devotee, Suta Goswami. They went to the pure devotee of the Lord. And when hearing the Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami, slowly and slowly their inquisitiveness went away. And they came to the Shuddha Bhakti Adhikar. And Artharthi, Dhruva Maharaj, the classic example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj simply performed all the austerity and penance to get the wealth, get the position greater than his great-grandfather. He wanted Lord Brahma, greater than Lord Brahma's palace. He wanted to reach there. But when Lord came in front of him, what he said? I was performing severe type of penance and austerities. Now I have gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigod, saintly person and the kings to attain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead I have found a most valuable jewel. So when Dhruva got the mercy of the Lord, and then his desires are gone, everything is gone, and he came to the stage of Shuddha Bhakti Adhikar. And the last was four Kumaras, the example for Jnanis. Four Kumaras were impersonalist, but when they got the mercy of Lord Vishnu and his devotees, Vaishnavas, their impersonalism was gone and they reached the stage of Shuddha Bhakti Adhikar. The conclusion is that as long as this contamination of distress the contamination of inquisitiveness, contamination of artharthi, that desire of wealth, and contamination of jnana is there, you cannot reach to the bhakti adhikar. When all this is gone, then you will get the bhakti adhikar. So that means who are very much attached to the material desire and a material world cannot develop the shuddha bhakti adhikar. So when this detachment comes, when this comes, when the people of this material world are distressed with all these things, and slowly they get detached, when they find that this material world is dukhalayam, there is no sukh here, it's dukh everywhere. When they realize this, then he becomes detached slowly and gradually. And then he surrenders. That's the only place to surrender is the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And then he gets the pure Shuddha Bhakti Adhikar. In Bhagavatam, Krishna says, having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, being disgusted with the material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So he actually sincerely repents. He knows whatever I am doing is wrong, but he is on the right path. He knows that my aim is to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. And slowly and gradually he gets detached from all this contamination, and he reaches that Shuddha Bhakti Adhikar. So Shraddha, that firm conviction should be there. Without that firm conviction, he cannot reach that level. For such a person, actually, the difference between the two states is only the time. Srila Prabhupada actually sometimes tells that all of his disciples are pure devotees. Why? Because this. Because they were convinced, they were having the strong faith, and they were knowing that we are on the right path. So that is why they were having the Dhrida Shraddha. That is why Prabhupada tells that all are pure devotees of Lord. So Shraddha is the only thing to develop Adhikar in Shuddha Bhakti. At least Shraddha is the first requisite. One who has developed Shraddha, Dhrida Shraddha, he does the bhajan. So with a firm faith, one should serve Guru and reach that surrender stage of Sharanagati. In Bhagavad Gita, actually, if you see, Lord Krishna actually, from 1st chapter to 17th chapter, he explains everything. He explains karma, he explains jnana, he explains yoga, he explains demigod worship, he explains everything. And ultimately in the 18th chapter, he says, abandon everything. Abandon all religion and surrender unto me. So that is, all this should go. And ultimately when you surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will reach the state. Okay. So Puru actually, in these words, if you see, Puru is also, he is a devotee of the Lord. He is having all the qualities of the devotee. If you see, he is exhibiting the qualities of the devotee. If you see, compassion. First, what is compassion? One who cannot see the distress of others is compassionate. So he was not able to see the distress of his father. His father was miserable when he was invalid and he was given that old age. So he was not able to see that distress of his father, and he became compassionate to his father. And the second quality, if you can see, is humility. His humility is, what is humility actually? Humility is that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by the others. So here, humility is actually not that simply artificially you said, I am fallen, Prabhu, you are great. That is not humility. That gesture itself is not a humility. Humility is actually to know our real position, what we are. So here, Puru knew that I am not first class. I could have accepted it before, but I have accepted only when you told me, only when you ordered. That's why I am second class. He accepted is that. So that is his humility. And the last is sarvopkar. The devotee is sarvopkari. He is self-sacrificing. He is always ready for the welfare of others. So he was ready to do welfare for his father. He was actually very, he's a peak of his youth, and his father was already in his advanced age. So he was ready to exchange his youth. He had not enjoyed sense enjoyment. His father must have done for years, but he has not enjoyed. But still, he was ready to sacrifice his youth for his father. He sacrificed that. And Puru was very glad to do that. He was very happy to do that. He was not. So yesterday was Ram Navami. If you see, in Ramayana, all the characters are full of embodiment of sacrifice, if you see. Lord Ram's sacrifice, Sita's sacrifice, Mother Sita's sacrifice, Lakshman's sacrifice, Kaushalya's sacrifice, Sumitra's sacrifice, Bharat's sacrifice. So everybody is a sacrifice. So it's been mentioned everywhere in the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, Ramcharitmanas of Tulsidas. But one character who has not been mentioned, not mentioned in Valmiki Ramayana or Tulsidas' Ramcharitmanas, is Urmila. The greatest ever sacrifice what she has done is Urmila. But she is not mentioned in any of the Ramayana, Tulsidas' or Valmiki Ramayana. So I'll narrate one nice story of Urmila over here. So this was one night in Panchvati. This was after the 8 years of exile. Lakshman was guarding the hut in Panchvati. Lord Ram and Sita were sleeping inside, and Lakshman was guarding. He was circumambulating the hut, and he was guarding the hut. And that time, suddenly one lady came in the way of Lakshman. She obstructed the way of Lakshman. And she said, and Lakshman immediately said, "Oh mother, who are you? Please don't obstruct my way." And then the lady said, "Lakshman, I am Nindra Devi. I have come here to serve you. You are the greatest conqueror of sleep. From last 8 years, you have not slept. So I have come here to serve you. Please give me a chance to serve you." Lakshman gives the beautiful answer. That's his humility. He says, "Oh mother, who told you, servant doesn't have the right to be served. Servant doesn't have the right to be served. I am a servant. Please let me do my service." Then Indra Devi says, "No, please give me a chance. I'll serve you and just immediately go away. Please give me a chance. I'll serve you. I know you are living a life of a renunciate. I won't touch you. I won't even break your vows. I won't let you sleep also. Please let me serve you." Then she says that you are so tired of 8 years of not sleeping. Let me move this chadar from on your head, and then all your fatigue will go away and you will be fresh again. Then Lakshman says, "Oh mother, who told you that Lakshman is tired? And how did you believe that Lakshman can be tired? I am not tired at all. Please let me do my service." Then that mother Nindra Devi says that if a person don't sleep for a day also, the next day you can see the fatigue on his face. How is it that by 8 years you are sleepless, and how can you be without fatigue? Lakshman says, "I am not at all tired, because 24 hours a day I am getting darshan of Lord Ram and Sita. So that is how I am not at all tired. By their darshan, anybody can be fresh always." So Nindra Devi says, "You are great, Lakshman, but please let me serve in any ways. Please let me serve." So during this discussion was going on, Lord Ram and Sita were awoke. They heard this. They were disturbed and they got awoke. And Lord Ram and Sita peeped through the hole of that hut, and they saw that Lakshman was speaking to this lady, Nindra Devi. And Nindra Devi was insisting, and Lakshman was refusing to get the service from her. And ultimately Lakshman says that, "Please let me go," but she was not ready. And Lakshman actually then says, "Okay, I'll agree to get the service from you, but henceforth you won't argue." She got ready. And then Lakshman says, okay, I don't want any service, I am not tired. But as I am not sleeping here from last 8 years, my wife Urmila in Ayodhya, she has not slept for last 8 years even. So I to still have the darshan of Lord Ram and Mother Sita. She doesn't have that facility. So she might be tired. So please, if you can do that service for me, you can go and that make her fresh. She might be tired. You can serve her instead of me. When Lord Ram heard the word Urmila, the tears came out of Lord's eyes. And he told Mother Sita, Sita, we had forgotten Urmila for so many years. We have never thought about Urmila. Poor girl, she has been staying there without her husband for last 8 years. She has also not stepped. And Mother Sita said, we should go and give our darshan to Urmila. And immediately Lord with his omnipotency, he reached Ayodhya in the room of Urmila with Mata Sita. And when Urmila saw the Lord and Mother Sita, she was surprised. She thought that, I am not sleeping, no. I am not dreaming. I have not slept, no. She was worried about that. But then Mother Sita put the hand on her head and she said, Urmila, we have come to bless you. We have come to ask something. We want to give you something. You are so great. Your sacrifice is wonderful. And then he says that, today, first time in 8 years, Lakshman remembered you. We never remembered, but Lakshman remembered you after 8 years. And he narrated the whole story to Urmila. And Urmila, the answer which she gave, actually, it proves that she's not ignored by any of the acharyas. But her character is so great that to narrate that character or to give justice to that character is almost impossible. The answer what she gave, she actually told that, I have got this right of a daughter-in-law in such a dynasty of Raghuvansh. I don't need anything in three worlds. My husband, the Aryaputra, is incessantly serving you, your good selves. And he's been serving, he's getting this opportunity, he's so fortunate. I am wife of that fortunate Aryaputra. I don't want anything. But if you want to give me, I'll ask one benediction from you. She says, give me promise. And she says that till the time of exile, till the 14 years gets over, and you come back to Ayodhya and the Rajyabhishek is done and you again become the king of Ayodhya, Lakshman should never remember me. My husband should never remember me. Once in 8 years he remembered you. Both of you had to come all the way from Panchvati to here, Ayodhya. It's for that remembrance you had to take this hardship of coming from Panchvati to Ayodhya. So please, now henceforth, he should never, for the next 6 years, he should never remember me. Such was the sacrifice of Urmila that she exhibited in Ramayana. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।